This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
The big question that's still being asked this morning, is the world's biggest passenger jetliner safe to fly?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning to you. I'm Bob Moon in for Steve Chiatakis. If it ain't Boeing, I ain't going. A travel blog on the website of the Sydney Morning Herald says some passengers in the land down under are starting to voice their preference for U.S.-made Boeing planes over European-made Airbus jetliners. This after last week's scary engine failure on an A380. Then comes fresh news out of the Australian airline Qantas. It's grounding all six of its Airbus Super Jumbos for at least another 3 days after finding an anomaly in several engines. Let's check with Marketplace's Stephen Beard in London. How major is this problem they've turned up?
Well, it's not hugely serious in itself. They found what could be a small oil leak in three engines. But since these engines are only 2 years old, this is unusual. And it's obviously a bit worrying in the wake of last week's incident where one of these Rolls-Royce Trent 900 engines suffered some kind of blowout, forcing an emergency landing.
Well, how big of an embarrassment is this for Airbus?
Well, this is a new aircraft. It's only been in service for 3 years with a new engine. These kind of teething troubles do happen. But as Mark Pilling, editor of Airline Business magazine, points out, the grounding of the A380s has underlined the obvious downside of operating these super jumbos from the carrier's point of view.
It's such a large aircraft. You're talking about such huge volumes of passengers that are disrupted. When these aircraft go out of the fleet. I mean, in a way, luckily Qantas has only got six so far.
Even so, it's proved quite a headache for Qantas to bring in enough backup planes. The bigger embarrassment, though, is probably for Rolls-Royce, the engine maker, which is going through a bit of a sticky patch. The company has also been accused of being partly responsible for the delay in the Boeing 787 because of engine test failures.
Our European Bureau Chief Stephen Beard in London, thank you.
OK, Bob.
The major stock markets in London, Paris, and Frankfurt all down between a small fraction to a third of 1% at this hour. Analysts say some of that is taking profits off the table. In Tokyo, the Nikkei average was up more than 1%. Chrysler says it lost $84 million in the third quarter, down by half from the previous 3 months. But for the year overall, it's predicting an operating profit. Elisa Roth covers the auto industry for Marketplace. Elisa, it seems like a case of better news, if not good news. Can we take this to mean Chrysler's reorganization is working?
You know, it seems like it does. The company did post a net loss, as you said, but its operating profit for the quarter was actually $239 million. What's happening is it's paying very high interest rates on loans from the U.S. and Canadian governments, and that's ending up creating a net loss. The company's also said it's having to pay more to switch factories over to produce different models. But Sergio Marchionne, the CEO, said the company's doing exactly what it set out to do in its five-year plan, and that it's living up to its commitments and exceeding its financial objectives.
Financial objectives. They're important to be sure, but Chrysler is supposed to be selling cars. How's that going?
Well, worldwide, sales were down a bit this last quarter, but sales in the U.S. were up 20% this quarter. If you look at specific vehicles, it's even better than that. Sales of the Jeep Grand Cherokee, which was just redesigned, were up 35%. Sales on the Town & Country minivan were up 48%. And Chrysler's vehicles are selling for higher prices than they were last year. Now, over the next couple of months, Chrysler is supposed to be rolling out a whole line of new or refreshed models. So if that goes well, we could continue to see more of this kind of success.
Elisa Roth, thank you.
You're welcome.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constellation Energy, committed to customer choice and powering America's clean energy future through investments in nuclear, wind, solar, and efficiency technologies. By Vanguard, whose mission is to simplify investing and to help people reach their financial goals at vanguard.com/publicradio. and by Microsoft, providing comprehensive business solutions for the cloud. You can learn more at Microsoft.com/cloud.
What happens when the fuel taxes that pay for most of our roads are lost to more efficient cars and better mass transit? In the first of a series on the future of transportation, Kathy Ducham looks at one alternative to the gas tax, something called congestion pricing.
To understand the concept of congestion pricing, we take a ride on the Washington, D.C. Beltway with David Lewis. He's a transportation economist with the consulting firm HDR. Right now, the lanes we drive in are toll-free. With congestion pricing...
You see that steel girder that crosses the road?
Right.
That would be mounted with cameras and electronic devices.
Those devices would record when we cross from a free lane into a designated toll lane that's moving faster.
And at the end of the month, you'd get a bill for making that trip.
That's the way congestion pricing works. Instead of a tax on the amount of gas you use, you get taxed on the miles you drive, and you pay more to drive in the peak commute. Lewis says, think of it like a surcharge for a movie.
No one objects to paying more to go to the movies on a Saturday night than they pay to go to the matinee.
Lewis says even the most skeptical drivers will pay the tolls when they see less traffic.
So if we could reduce the volume of traffic that we're stuck in right now by 10%, our speed might go up by 20%.
Congestion price lanes can be found in California and Colorado. There's also one on the Virginia side of D.C. On the Maryland side of the Capitol, there are plans for a highway where all lanes will be tolled. It's called the Intercounty Connector. As you'd expect, there's opposition.
Very concerned that the tolls are going to be charged will price many of the public off the road.
Phil Andrews is a county councilman in the suburbs where the new highway is under construction. Andrews agrees people should pay more for transportation. But he says 25 cents a mile, the approved rate for the new highway, is too much. Andrews wants to revisit the gas tax.
I think the gas tax needs to be raised each year by a nickel to a dime, until it's producing enough revenue to fund the transportation projects that we need.
But policymakers wonder about the day when we're all driving electric cars. There won't be much gas to tax. That's one reason why support for congestion pricing continues to grow. In Gaithersburg, Maryland, I'm Kathy Ducham for Marketplace.
How's this for an entrepreneurial idea? Mobile storage for mobile phones for kids who can't bring them to class. The New York Daily News reports today more than 700 students are paying a buck every school day to leave their phones with an enterprising businessman. He's parking panel trucks outside a couple of schools in the Bronx so the kids can get them as soon as they're out. I'm Bob Moon in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
Remember Knight Rider, the talking car? Well, the future's here, and it'll even compliment you.
And we find that that type of flattery encourages drivers to feel like, gee, the car cares about me, the car's thinking about me, and the car thinks I'm smart.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. No need to keep your eyes on the road or your hands upon the wheel. A story next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.